You're listening to SBS News.
I think no one should have to go through that. There is absolutely no reason to have this particular law in our constitution. Section 44 has to go because, you know, it actually restricts people from participating in democracy.
Deputy Greens leader Maureen Farooqi was born in Lahore, Pakistan, and moved to Sydney with her husband in 1992, working and lecturing at university as a civil engineer. A decade later, she became the first Muslim woman to stand for New South Wales Parliament. But first, she was forced to renounce her birth citizenship. She's told SBS it was harder than she thought it would be.
What I felt after I had filled out that form to renounce my citizenship of Pakistan was really incredibly different to what I thought I would feel. But as I was filling out that form, writing out the history of my family, you have to talk about your parents and your grandparents, I just felt as if I was being forced to give up my birthright, to give up my history and my culture.
Senator Farooqi believes Section 44 is stopping others from migrant backgrounds from being able to stand for Parliament, and she's not alone. Constitutional law expert at the University of New South Wales, Professor George Williams, explains the history of the rule.
This clause was drafted in the 1890s, and back then there was a strong anti-foreigner sentiment. They felt they didn't want people who were citizens of other countries sitting in the Australian Parliament. They raised the issue that those people might sell our defence secrets to other countries, and it was thought you'd only be a citizen, in that case a British citizen, in order to be qualified to sit in the Australian Parliament.
In the last census, the Bureau of Statistics found more than half of Australians are either born overseas or have a parent born overseas, which suggests there are a lot of dual citizens in the country. In 2017, several parliamentarians were kicked out and their seats forced into by-elections because they hadn't renounced their dual citizenships. In some cases, they weren't even aware they had them. New West Australian Labor Senator Fatima Payman has also recounted her experience of renouncing her citizenship.
It was devastating. I mean, even though I arrived in Australia as an eight-year-old and, you know, literally grew up in this environment and this is home, it was that sort of part of my identity that I was like, you know, I got to let go of this cultural aspect of, you know, what I identify as.
Senator Payman arrived in Perth as an eight-year-old refugee from Afghanistan, a few years after her father came by boat as an asylum seeker. The 27-year-old is currently the youngest senator in the chamber and one of the youngest ever to stand as a representative. She's also the first woman to wear a hijab, something she hopes won't always attract as much attention.
It's firstly trying to normalise the hijab so that people don't, you know, look twice and be like, oh, so you're a senator. It just shows how far Australia has come in terms of the diversity, but also having that appetite for representation and having a parliament that actually reflects society.
Despite her close ties to her culture and family, Senator Payman doesn't think the rules should change.
Because I call Australia home and there's no ways I would ever go back. But it's also, you know, it's just part of protocol and I respect that. I feel like it's really important to show your allegiance to the nation that you're representing.
Professor Williams says not all countries have rules as strict as Australia's. He says in the United Kingdom, you don't even have to be a British citizen to stand for Parliament.
It's common to say you should be a citizen of the country, but commonly those nations don't strike you out if you've got dual nationality. A good example is the British Parliament. You can be a British citizen, but you can even be a Commonwealth citizen in that case, and it's much more liberal.
Because it's a rule in the Constitution, it would need a referendum to remove it. The ongoing debate around getting constitutional change to enshrine an Indigenous voice to Parliament is an example of just how complicated and difficult that is to achieve. Since Federation in 1901, just 8 of the 44 referendums put to the people have passed. Professor Williams says it could take a while before there would be motivation to begin that campaign.
The only way to remove this clause is via a referendum of the Australian people, and that's expensive and difficult and something for which the government has no appetite. I think now isn't the right time to progress this. The Uluru Statement from the Heart and the Voice is rightly the first referendum proposal we'll vote on, but this should be looked at for the future.
In the meantime, it'll be up to candidates willing to make that sacrifice to represent their communities. You can hear the full interviews with Senator Fatima Payman and Senator Maureen Faruqi in the SBS Our House podcast series on the SBS Radio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Search SBS Our House to hear more. Krishani Danji, SBS News.